Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, May 12th. We're back with you midweek.
We are.
And we're here. We've got a full show today. We have a guest calling in.
All right.
A friend of Jen's, or I don't know if a friend, but your trainer.
Yeah, he's a friend. Yeah, for sure.
He's a friend too.
Definitely.
Okay, and we're going to talk about training and exercise and things like that.
Great.
Sounds good.
Definitely. Okay. I exercised my right to be on time by the skin of my teeth today.
Yeah. Well, as long as you're here. Who yeah. cares, you know? So, I had my birthday on Monday.
Yeah, tell us everything.
There wasn't anything to tell, really. The highlight was really going to the dentist. But there was no,
any
but that
news?
Wasn't really the highlight. We went out for dinner with the family. That was nice. And
where did you go?
We went to a restaurant out in Westlake Village. Have you ever been there to Westlake Village?
Yeah.
There's a lake. There's an artificial lake there, actually, and restaurants around it and and houses and stuff.
Nothing says America like an artificial lake.
Right, exactly. Or California, right?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's very nice there. So that's what I chose. And we went there. It wasn't cheap, but what can you do?
You got to splurge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
How were those cheesecakes?
They were good.
They were good.
Yeah, I had a couple of them. I gave my my son a couple.
Great.
So we
How did
we
he
enjoyed
like them.
He liked them too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
We like cheesecakes, yeah.
Yeah, who doesn't like cheesecake?
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. How have you been?
I'm good. Yesterday I took my sister and my roommate out to eat at Perch Rooftop downtown, which was really
good.
Lovely. Yeah, we just shared a bunch of appetizers, and then we went to... What is it? Macaroni Republic. That's a couple blocks away right by Grand Central Market. I don't know if you've ever been to Grand Central Market, but it's a really cool spot. It's like this indoor, outdoor, all these like little food stands and everyone's like drinking and it's really cute.
Oh, okay.
And then we just did a dessert menu tasting last night at Macaroni Republic, which is really intense but great.
Really? So they had good desserts?
Yeah, we got 6 different desserts.
Wow.
And we just did a
tasting. At a macaroni place, of all places.
Well, it's called Macaroni Republic. It's like an Italian homemade pasta joint.
Right. That's what it sounds like. But
yeah.
It sounds like a strange place to go for desserts.
Well,
but
Italian places always have great dessert.
That's true, yeah.
You know, you can really count on the Italians.
Yeah, that's true.
The Italians and the French.
So it was good.
It was great.
Okay, well, good. That's all that matters.
It was the best flan I ever had.
Really?
It was not dairy-free.
Well, I love flan.
Yeah, it was the best flan I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, totally. My sister lived in Paris for a while, and she said this was the closest to Paris flan that she's had.
Okay. Is she having fun here still?
She is.
Yeah?
She's having fun.
Good.
She was going to come today, but she just couldn't work it out with her work schedule.
Yeah. How much longer is she going to stay?
She leaves on Sunday.
Oh, okay. So you guys are getting to spend some time together.
Definitely, yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just showing her all my hot spots.
Yeah.
We went swimming at my pool yesterday. And
it's cool to show off to people like where you live and
I know
where you hang out and stuff, right?
I know, yeah. I know. I was taking her around Silver Lake and we had a really cute lunch the other day at Larchmont Bungalow, which is this little like outdoor spot. And there's like herb gardens and trees everywhere. It's really cute.
Right.
Yeah.
So you took it to nice places in town.
Oh, definitely. And we've all worked in food industry. Excuse me. We've all worked in the food industry and really high-end food industry. And we're from Philly, which is like a very food critic town. Like Philly is a restaurant city. So we have really high expectations. Yeah, definitely. So, and I, you know, New York has good food spots, but it's so expensive that, you know, up and coming chefs can't really open restaurants. So there's like, it's very few and far between for the good restaurants in New York. Like they have them, but it's like, there's one here and then there's one there. In Philly, it's like one after another. There's tons and tons of great restaurants. So, you know, I think LA has a way better food scene than New York. People I know who are food critics think New York is a garbage place for food. Yeah. Like, I mean, you have good pizza, you have a couple great restaurants, but it's not like, I mean, Philly's number two in the country. So. Yeah.
And we do have nice restaurants here. No doubt.
LA has amazing food. Yeah. Yeah, totally. The food scene here is great. It's more like Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, at least a couple of positive things about L.A.
There's a lot of positive about L.A. Yeah.
That's true.
So much positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my sister's not really a nature person. I took her to Vista Hermosa Park, which is like, it's like a park and it has like a trail, but it's not a trail. It's like completely flattened. So it's like, it's not an outdoor person's park. Right. And she was like, there's so many bugs. Just completely freaking out. I was like, this is the most civilized park you could possibly go to.
Wow. I sometimes envy that New York has Central Park, you know? I don't know if it's that great, but it sounds great. It's a huge park in the middle of the city, you know?
It's cute, but, like, it's filled with tourists. It's filled with, like, vendors. It's filled with homeless people.
So it's not really going to nature or anything.
It's not really going to nature at all. I mean, everywhere you're... Maybe if you're in Sheep's Meadow, which is basically like a giant football field in the middle of it, that's maybe. But honestly, we have better parks here.
Oh, really?
Hands down, yeah. Mm. Definitely.
Okay. Well, so I don't care about Central Park.
I mean, it's not...
I don't think I've ever been there. You know, I went to New York a few times.
You got to just walk through it. That's really all it's for. You do a quick walk through.
I think I did a little bit, but not across it, you know, like a little section or something.
Yeah, it's fine. You're not missing anything.
Yeah. I just see it in the movies, you know. It looks good, but...
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute. It's a cute place.
Yeah.
It's fine, though.
Yeah. Probably a lot of first dates go there and stuff, right?
No.
No?
New Yorkers don't really...
They don't go there.
No, not as much. Occasionally, you know. But I like Bryant Park. I think Bryant Park is really cute. It's a much, much smaller park. It's kind of downtown, well, midtown on the east side. And they have all these like tables and benches and like coffee shops in the little park. And that's always packed. Mm. That's always packed with New Yorkers on their lunch break.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a cute area.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's fine. But yeah. Central Park, you never go in at nighttime either because you're just...
Yeah, it's too dangerous.
Yeah, it's a definite murder.
Yeah.
It's 100% murder.
100%, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
No room for doubt.
Yeah, no.
No doubt at all.
You may as well just like if you're ever like wanting to end it all, just like go for a walk at night in Central Park.
Yeah, right.
And then that'll... You won't have to do any work.
Like jump into the pool full of alligators.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Garbage.
But but they're saying New York is really deteriorated, you know, as far as quality of life and everything, you know.
There was no quality of life to begin with, so.
Well, but they've improved it. I mean, you know, like in the 80s, you know, all that Times Square, 42nd Street were terrible, you know.
Yeah.
And then Giuliani came and cleaned up everything.
He cleaned it up and now it's all tourists, so it's probably still equally as terrible.
Right.
Because every time any, like New Yorkers never go to Times Square.
Right.
Ever.
There's nothing to do there.
There's nothing to do. It's like, you know, it's something to see when you've never been to New York. You got to go. You got to see the lights. It's a must see for sure.
Right.
But I had a voiceover class in like right around that area. And every time I had to go there, I was like stuck behind stuck behind tourists who were like stopped in their tracks and there was always construction and no way to get around anyone. And then you're like waiting for traffic and like it was just such a mess of people. You just avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
You know. That's how you know someone's not from New York, because if you meet up with someone, they go, let's meet in Times Square. You're like, no.
Yeah, that's not where
I'm meeting. That's the train stop you skip.
Right.
For sure. You don't go there.
Yeah. It's a fun place, but you're right. It's for tourists more when you take your time, you know.
Oh, my gosh. It's like tourists and like just really broken down people. You're like always stuck behind somebody who's like, I don't want to be mean when I say this, but like somebody who like, I'm like always stuck behind like a 90-year-old who's like just like walking super slow, And then I feel guilty because I'm like annoyed at them for being so slow, or like it's like somebody with a cast on and they're just like limping around on their crutches, and I'm just like, oh my God, like I know you're trying to do your thing, but like I gotta go, you know.
What a different lifestyle from LA, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, here we don't deal with this shit. Nobody walks. Really, yeah. You know?
Totally. Like, you know when you get really mad at, like, a technological dysfunction, like when your computer's really pissing you off?
Right, right.
Like, that's how it feels to live in New York all day, every day. You're just constantly, like, blowing your top.
Wow.
And everyone's blowing their top. You don't walk a block without hearing somebody yelling at somebody else or spitting on somebody else.
Oh, God.
It's a mess.
Yeah, you talk about spitting. This is, I wanted to bring up this story. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a fuel shortage on the East Coast now.
No,
because a pipeline was hacked, so created problems. So now people are like fighting to get gas, and so in North Carolina, this woman tried to cut in into the line in the gas station, and when the SUV. Nobody would let her in, obviously. So she drove into, rammed into this SUV. So the driver comes out. She spits in his face, and he spits back at her. And then there's a whole, like, altercation.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Then there's a whole altercation and everything, you know, in front of everybody. And you go, my God, you know, where the fuck have we come to?
Yeah, I mean.
How do you hope to really cut in when the traffic has just stopped? You know, I mean, you're at a gas station. Nobody's moving.
Yeah.
You know, so you think you're going to get in? You know, I mean, it's not going to happen.
Totally.
And it's rude as hell, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like.
I mean, you know people are going to be pissed at you. Why would you do it, you know?
Yeah, you just don't do it. You just wait your turn.
People are fucking crazy, man. I mean, I see people stealing parking lots here sometimes, and they get irritated. Like, there'd be a car waiting for you to pull out, and then another car just rushes in and takes the spot, you know?
Yes, back in the day, that's happened to me on the East Coast for sure. Mm. And I've gotten out and knocked on the window and been like, excuse me.
Yeah.
I was literally waiting for that spot.
Right. So people don't really care, you know? But I can't imagine fuel shortage. I mean, shit, you know, you realize you can't drive anywhere until you get some gas. You have to stand in line.
That's scary.
Sit in line probably for 2 hours or something, you know?
Yeah, no,
it is scary, you know?
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't get all the way here, man.
I'm sure we'll be okay out here.
I hope so, man. It's called the Colonial Pipeline. Yeah, they hacked it. They're not sure if it's Russians or something, but.
Like they hacked it and stole the oil?
No, I think they just disabled things or whatever. Oh. You can't really steal the oil, you know, but
like, I don't know. Doing? They like probably tried to.
Yeah. I don't know why they did this, actually, you know.
So wild.
A 5,500 mile pipeline system transports more than 100 million gallons of gasoline per day.
Whoa.
Roughly 45% of the fuel consumed on the eastern seaboard. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Right?
That's a lot. A lot.
It's a lot of people affected by this shit. Wow.
My goodness.
Yeah, I know. So the stock market is sliding like a motherfucker.
Is it?
And Tony's
really into the stock market too.
Really?
Yeah, he was a big stock market guy on Wall Street for a lot of years. Mm.
I think I'm going to be out of Wall Street soon, you know?
Yeah.
This is not for me. This is not for me, you know? I mean, Tesla is fucking
tanked
like crazy.
You've been saying that like the whole time I've known you. You're really? Like, I don't know if this is for me. I don't think this is for me. And then you're
And I say I'll do it long term, and then I check my fucking stocks
every
10
day.
Times a day,
mm-hmm.
You know? And then friends do the same thing, and we just commiserate, you know?
Yeah, and people want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here comes the call.
Uh-oh.
So sometimes they take a little longer to get on. I don't know why, but.
There's a lag or something.
Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Oh, well.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Tony.
Good morning. Yeah, hey. go ahead and introduce us to him.
Hey, everyone. This is my good friend and personal trainer friend, Tony Laurent of Muscle and Bone.
Muscle and Bone. I like that. Good morning, Tony. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
So Muscle and Bones, is that yeah, that's a pretty good name. I mean, it gets right to the point.
It does get to the point.
I'll take it. It's kind of ironically named because that was my nickname in high school. Somebody nicknamed me that in high school. And then when I went off on my own, created my little company, I just kind of wanted to do something a little different. So Muscle and Bone made sense, you know?
Right. So why did they call you that in school? Were you, like, already working out?
Here. Come on, man. We got to keep it a family show.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not a family show.
It's
actually
not a family show.
You can say whatever you want.
I don't think we have any children listening.
Yeah. So, okay, well, okay, so, all right, well, we won't ask you then.
Okay, I'll give you my patented answer. My patented answer is that I was really skinny. Okay. All right. That's true, though. I was like 135, 140 pounds in high school, and I was 6 feet tall. So
wow. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that's pretty thin and tall.
Tony, I'd love for you to tell everyone about kind of your background, where you come from in fitness, and why you started Muscle and Bone, and kind of your process to why you train the way you train now.
Okay, cool. So it kind of happened ironically because I really came from I was a finance guy for a long time. I was on Wall Street, and I couldn't get out of bed. I just kind of realized that I was not living what I thought. At least I was living what I thought what I wanted to be, which was a money guy. And then I had this crisis, and I woke up and realized that's not what I am or who I am. Mm. You know, I was all about money, money, money. So I kind of wallowed around, and I'm a boxer. So I was at the gym one day hitting the bags, and I did that frequently. And then the manager of the gym came to me and said, hey, you know, you ever considered being a trainer? And at first I said no, and then I went back home and thought about it. And I said, yeah, you know, let's talk about it. So that wound up, you know, taking me into training. And it was funny because when I first started, you know, you're just kind of going through the motions.
Right.
And I was an older trainer, so I had to really humble myself. So I went from being like, you know, a Wall Street dude, kind of smelling myself and thinking I was all that, to, you know, have to follow, you know, kids. You know, they were in their 20s. I'm in my late 30s, early 40s. I'm having to walk around with these young people and keep my mouth closed and just do what they tell me to do.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to suck up as much information as I can. So what wound up happening was I got all the basics down. I took a bunch of certifications. I stay in the library now. And then I started realizing that, you know, training wasn't supposed to be a one-size-fits-all approach because everybody's body is different, man. I mean, it's completely based upon your history. Like, you twisted your ankle when you were 15, and you think it completely went away. Well, the ligaments and or bones and tendons may have healed, but there's a neuromuscular residual that sticks around in your body. So your brain has made adjustments in your body, excuse me, that force your ankle to function in a different way, that prevented the pain. Even though there's no more pain, the movement patterns are there because, again, the brain stores movements to protect itself. The brain doesn't necessarily know that problem has been fixed. So it's just staying in the same patterns that it knows. So what that means is that moves up to your knee. So your knee is now tracking differently. Your hip is moving differently and your low back, and it just works its way up the chain. So if you take that over the course of your entire life, all the things you've had wrong with you, your toes that you broke, twisted ankles, you know, a twisted knee, just sitting improperly for years and years and years, all that has an impact on how your muscles function and has an impact on how your joints are stacked. So when your joints are out of alignment and they're not stacked properly, all this grinding and rubbing starts to happen. You have things that are touching that should not be touching and in spots where they shouldn't touch. So the body is designed to last for 100 plus years. And we think that, you know, pains are just a natural part of life as you get older. And while that might be true, there are ways to correct it before it becomes a full-blown injury. But we're just kind of accustomed to getting older, and then we start adjusting our lifestyle.
Right.
The things that we love to do, You know, like I love to box. I love to play basketball. I love to play football. I love to be able to do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. And I'm 53 years old now. And the only reason I can do that still is because I'm fully aware of how I'm moving when I'm in the gym. Like, if you guys want to pipe in at any point, just pipe in. But I'm going to keep rolling here because I will
We're listening. You're talking.
I was just going to pipe in and say I feel like I've twisted my ankle so many times. Like, how many times have you just, like, it's such an easy movement to just happen randomly.
Right.
You know? I mean, especially when you wear heels and stuff. Mm. Not you, but me.
That's the worst thing you can do, JP. That is the worst.
I know.
Because when you have your heels on, this brings up a good point. Your feet are the most important part of movement. Why? Because everything starts from the ground through your foot and works its way all up through your entire body.
Right.
We call it the kinetic chain. It works the way all the way up through the body. So if it's garbage in, the movement's going to be garbage out.
Yeah.
So if you have your foot, first of all, if your foot can't feel any kind of feedback from what's coming underneath it, if your sole is so thick or so hard, your feet can't feel it, that's a problem because right. Your brain's not getting any information, any feedback.
Right.
And then two, if the feet are not stimulated properly, you got five layers of muscle on your feet. Those things are supposed to be active. Mm. And if you turn the feet off by wearing thick soles or a supported arch or an orthotics and all that stuff that we've been told to wear, everything, again, starts in the foot. It becomes an ankle problem. That becomes a knee problem. That becomes a hip problem. And it just works its way up.
Yeah.
When I used to train with Dave is this guy I trained with. He was like a coach in the NFL
awesome
for a while.
Too.
Yeah, one of the best. Mm-hmm. Dave used to tell me, he's like, before you go out and you wear heels, make sure you roll out your feet and ankles before and after.
Mm, yeah, because you're standing on your toes for the most part, on the ball of your feet.
Yeah.
And that can't possibly be healthy, you know?
No, definitely not.
That's
definitely
right.
Not.
You know, you're jamming your toes at the bottom of those shoes, and so you're cramping them in there. You're squeezing your toes in there, so your toes are all tight. Your toes are supposed to be able to move. You're supposed to be able to spread your toes out like your fingers.
Sure.
Right.
My dad was a podiatrist, so I've heard this conversation my whole life. Like, I worked in his office when I was a kid, and I used to help the old people get their socks off, which always disgusted me.
Yeah.
People always had, like, the women's toes always grew into triangles by the time they were like 70, 80 years old. Like, wow. All the toes just pointed inward together.
Right.
Ugh. AB, that explains your foot fetish. I never understood your foot fetish.
Yeah, right. You wish. Tony knows how much I hate feet. Sense.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it, you know. Sounds like you hate feet.
But yeah, so to your point, Jen, so these shoes that we, you know, they look fantastic, right? All these brand names, I'm not going to call out any names, but all the brand names have sold us this idea that we need to have all this cushion and all this support to absorb shock,
right?
You know, if you walk too hard or run too hard. Well, that's the problem. People are not walking properly.
No.
They're walking around doing belly flops on their feet. They're just flopping their foot on the ground
because
there's no feedback. So when you do that all the time, you're not walking properly. It just sends bad information, garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
And so many people have developed flat feet and think they just have flat feet, but really they just have deactivated arches and poor structure. Yeah.
And I would imagine you hurt your back too, walking like that.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep, all the time. And then every time you jump too, here's another one, man. If you learn how to land properly, the best jumpers are, ironically or by design, also the best people at landing. So when you land from, you know, 3 feet, that impact on the ground has a poundage equivalence of going up your spine. So, I don't know, say it's 50, 60 pounds of torque going up your spine. So if you just land flat-footed, that number increases. But if you're able to learn how to land on what's called the active part of your foot, it's not quite the ball of your foot. It's just underneath the ball of your foot going towards your heel. If you land like that, and if you practice that, then you're going to be a lot further along in the game. You're going to have a lot better control of your spine. You have a lot better control of your pelvis. A lot of this hip pain comes about because people cannot control their pelvis. They sit down all day.
Right.
I see people doing squat jumps all the time, just landing And or even when they're running, you hear them just run by you, and it's like smack, 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 like with their feet on the ground. It's like, again, Dave used to like constantly, because I was a long distance runner for years, and Dave used to hammer me about the way my feet were hitting the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, feet are very important. We don't think about them enough, I
guess.
We don't. You know?
My dad used to say, we live in a cement world. Shoes are just a compromise.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some tribe I don't know if it's an official tribe, but there's a group of people in South America, and they're known for doing all these, you know, really long, long 50-mile runs. They do them barefoot.
Wow. Jeez.
You got to have really well-trained feet for that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. They never really adapted to shoes.
Right.
You know, when we wear all these things, we sit down in these chairs, everything that makes us like this progressive society, advanced society, like these sofas, the chairs that we sit in at our desks, the beds that we use.
The amount of time we're at chairs and bed.
Right.
These are all real soft and real pillowy. Well, the problem is when you put your foot in something that's too soft and too pillowy, the bones in your feet, you got a whole lot, you have dozens of bones in your feet. So the second those bones start to move out of alignment and they hold those positions for too long, you're going to have feet problems. Like when you lay in a bed that's too soft. If it's too soft, your spine can't hold proper alignment. You wake up in the morning, your back hurts.
Yeah.
It goes on and on. We're supposed to be a progressive, you know, advanced society.
Yeah. Hmm. Moving away from feet, I wanted to ask you, you know, I'm like, I want to work out and it's hard for me to get started. What would you recommend for someone who hates working out, but they know they need to? How do you psych yourself into doing it?
Mm-hmm. You can't psych yourself.
C4.
You got to find somebody who knows what they're doing, man. You can't just go to the gym. Your context of the gym is when you were in whatever school and you were doing gym class.
Right.
And I don't know how old you are, but like I told you, I'm in my 50s.
Right.
So the science behind training has changed. Like when I was young, coming up, we used to do these static stretches and holds. You just stretch and hold before activity.
Right.
That's the worst thing you can do.
Really?
So, you know, so you're going to be training, doing all the old exercises. You're going to start off doing some push-ups. You're going to start off doing some squats or whatever, some biceps curls. No, you can't do that because your shoulders, your hips, and your elbows, for that matter, they're not primed and prepared to handle those movements.
Right.
The muscles that are way underneath those are the ones that are right next to the bone that you can't really see.
Right.
Those are the muscles that hold the key to your being healthy and strong going later on into your life.
Right.
Because when those things shut down, I don't care how strong your pecs are, I don't care how strong your deltoids are, if you don't have a strong rotator cuff, your shoulders are going to rip out of the socket at some point. You're going to have torn rotator cuffs, you're going to have torn ligaments, or you're going to have frozen shoulder. You're going to have all kinds of problems if you don't train from the most intrinsic or the most the bones that are the muscles that are closest to the bone, and then you work your way out to the muscles that are closer to the skin. You don't start with those skin muscles first.
So many people do.
Yeah.
So many people do. And I'm really into foam rolling. And all my friends that I know that go in and just do those surface muscles. Like I have a friend, Tony, I think I've told you about him. He told me he goes into the gym and he immediately goes to the squat bar first thing and starts trying to squat 200 pounds.
Wow.
No warm up, nothing.
Really?
And I was like, let me foam roll you. I touched the a lacrosse ball to his calf and he screamed. Like his tendons were in such bad shape. I was like, that's not, like, I'll tell you, I worked out for years. Like when I did running, I lost 70 pounds just running. But my knees became a mess. And then I did the insanity workouts, those beach body workouts, which, I mean, they take the weight off. They take the weight off. I'll say that. Mm. But my knees were in terrible shape. I did a mud run. And after that, like, I had a hard time running, and for me not being able to run, like I ended up putting weight on when I lived in New York because I wasn't able to work out. And then I started training with Dave and he did all this like corrective training with me, and your body reshapes differently. Like things you thought were just like your body style or body type are totally different when you're actually training properly and you enjoy it because you're seeing better results, you're feeling stronger and your body is functioning better, you know, because like, I mean, Tony, you totally understand this. Like sometimes you can look great on the outside, but you feel like shit on the inside because you weren't training properly.
Drop the mic.
It's on a little stand or I would.
But
a lot of people think that working out is as simple as just starting back up. Like they'll do Peloton, right? They'll buy a Peloton bike, right, and then they'll just start doing Peloton. Yeah, I work out, I do Peloton every morning. Well, here's a guy you guys know about, Rick Fox, LA Lakers, championship Rick Fox. That dude had to take off time from working out, and he posted it on social media that doing Peloton every day just messed up his body. It's not that Peloton's the problem. He didn't have proper protocols in his regimen that would prevent what's called an overuse injury. When you do something all the time, all you're doing is activating a certain specific group of muscles all the time. The muscles that need to do some what's called synergistic work, in other words, they help those muscles. If they go dead and the muscles that you're activating get twice, three times, four times as active, and that can't last. That's when they start to pull off the bone. Right. That's when they start to rip. That's when they start to fray. And that's what happened to Rick Fox.
Wow. Yeah, so you suggest we definitely should get a trainer if you're getting back into this. Someone who knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And get a trainer, you know, who you interview them. Ask them, some questions. How would you train me? You know, and what's different about my body that would make you train me that way as opposed to that person you were training earlier? Look at them. Go watch them. Watch them first.
And more like a sports medicine, too.
Find them.
Yeah.
Say again, Jen. I'm sorry.
I said more like a sports medicine trainer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Tony, go ahead and let people know how they can get a hold of you. After all, you're calling in. We wanted people to know about you and what you do. You sound like you know what you're doing, and I highly recommend. I guess Jen is highly recommending you as well.
Totally.
She's told me so. Go ahead. Tell us how people can get a hold of you.
All right. You can find me at www.thejointwhisperer.com. www.thejointwhisperer.com.
I like that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty
you whisper cool. to the joints pretty much.
That's right. I do.
He whispers resistance bands. Myofascial release.
Yeah. What about social media? Do you have any social media, Tony?
I do. I'm at Muscle and Bone NYC with underscores in between everything. So it's Muscle underscore and A-N-D underscore B-O-N-E Bone underscore NYC. That's my Instagram. My Facebook is just Muscle and Bone NYC, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, those are the two.
That's cool.
I'll use.
Yeah, if you go to the Joint Whisperer, you'll find everything, I imagine. So there you
that's
go.
True.
Tony, thank you so much for joining us this morning. A lot
Thanks
of
inter- for having me. This
of course.
Awesome.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff, very helpful, you know, and you're yeah, I'm getting a little incentive here to maybe start working out. You know, I really need to.
I'll tell you this.
I feel my body is just like, and you asked me how old I am. I'm 61 years old. I think I definitely need some more action, especially after a year of sitting around on my ass.
Totally.
Too long,
and I'll tell you this. Last week, I went on my first run in a long time, and it was my first pain-free run that I'd had in years.
Oh, wow.
No pain. I ran 2.5 miles.
Oh, wow.
Testimonial, love it. That's awesome.
There you go. You can always quote us for your website or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So Tony Laurent, right?
Tony Laurent.
Yeah.
That's right. Laurent. That's it. Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
a lot of
Tony.
Continued success to you. And
thank you, sir.
Sure. Everybody, check him out.
And he does Zoom sessions, and they're great.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Cool. And when there's no Zoom, where do you do the training? In a gym or something?
Yeah, I have a gym in my basement. There is an area down here where I actually train people. I train about 40 people online.
Oh, wow.
So it's cool. I do classes. I have a few different options for training. So, you know, anybody who calls in, if they find me at thejointwhisperer.com, they fill out the application, then I'll give them a free session. Anybody.
Wow. Very cool. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
I should check him out and see. I just need to psych myself into doing this, you know.
It's good.
Yeah.
It only takes once to start.
Yeah, that's true. And I got to get off my ass, man. It's too much.
Yeah.
All right, Tony. Well, all the best to you again. And thank you again for joining us.
Thanks for calling, Tony.
Thanks a million.
See you Sunday.
Thanks so much. Guys, have a really great day, okay? Stay safe out there.
Thank you. You do the same. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll do.
Bye. So he's from New York City, huh?
Yeah, we met. He was training at an athlete's gym where I was training with my trainer, Dave.
Uh-huh.
And I was... It was like my first time doing deadlifts. Like we had the whole like chalking station. You're chalking up your hands. And
yeah.
I mean, I was like a total killer in the gym. Yeah. Really? My trainer said I was like his prodigy.
Ah. Yeah.
No bragging or anything.
No bragging.
But yeah, it was great. It was like the best shape I'd ever be in. I was completely ripped head to toe.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really great. My deadlift was like 285.
Really?
Yeah. My squat was 240.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, my bench was like 125.
Right.
Which is pretty good considering my upper body was so weak.
Yeah.
It's still kind of weak. It's really hard. Women are really strong on the legs and weaker up top, and men are really weak on the legs and really strong up top.
Yeah, right?
We're like opposites.
Yeah, so like pull-ups are easier for guys, right?
Oh my gosh, every guy I know, even with no muscle at all, can usually do like a pull-up.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God. But wow. I can like leg press and squat more than any guy I know, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah. That's and we had like a impressive whole track with like sleds,
uh-huh.
Which are like those things with the two bars and then you put the weights on them. And I used to have my trainer pack as many weights as he could on there. He would put like 400 pounds and then he would stand on the sled and I would push him and the 400 pounds down the track.
Wow.
Yeah. It was great.
I don't know, man. I just can't get into exercise.
You should do a free session with Tony.
Yeah.
It'll be really gentle. Yeah.
It's not about the gentle. It's about the, I don't know. But I got to do it, man. I got to do it.
Yeah,
know?
Just do it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. There's a phone call coming in. Let's go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air with Jen and Sam. Go ahead.
Hey, Sam. It's Carl Kozlowski. I just wanted to say hi. I listen to you guys still. Like at least once a week. I was one of the guys from Grand Theft Audio way back in the day.
Oh yeah, hi Carl. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I didn't know how else to reach you, but do you have an email that I can write you an email later, or is that sorry to ask this way, but I didn't know what else to do. I've left a message once.
Just email me to info@latalkradio.com and I'll respond.
Okay, all right. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Of course, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
Good work.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Cool.
Okay.
I love a random caller. It's, you never know what who's going to be.
Yeah, and what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like waiting for something super inappropriate.
Yeah. So back to the stock market. So there's a sell-off. You know, people are afraid of inflation because
sure.
There's talk of inflation and everything. And people get into Bitcoin and crypto and stuff. And I'm doing very well on Ethereum, you know. So if that keeps going, I'll be okay. But
great.
But Tesla has kicked my ass, man.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I've heard such mixed things about this, so I want to know your opinion. I'm asking everyone's opinion who I know works in the market. If you have credit card debt, even if it's minimal, you know, like $3,000 or under, $2,000 or under, do you still suggest paying off all your credit card debt before you invest any money in the market?
I think so, because you're spending... That's what they say, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not always doable, but the thing is this, you're paying interest, you know, and that's the bottom line. The interest really adds up. So when you think about that, you go, it's eating up into your money, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why they're saying eliminate debt first. And it always sucks to owe money, you know?
Of course.
You know, so.
But you don't think you can just like put some money in the market and if it does well, you can use some of that money to pay off.
Yeah,
debt.
But that's if, you know, I mean.
Yeah, everything's if.
Yeah. So try. I mean, you know, try some. Try to put some in there, you know, and see what happens. But, I mean, you know, it can really go down. I mean.
But you can't tell me that, like, every person who has student loans in America. I don't have student loans, thank God. But every person who has student loans in America is just going to wait however long it takes them to pay off, like, 80 grand to, like, then invest in the stock market.
Well, it's. Like I said, it's the same thing, you know. I mean, you're investing money that is losing value, you know. So
yeah,
because you're paying interest, so you have less money.
Yeah, but you'll never be able to invest ever.
That's true. That's
you'll
true.
Spend the rest of your life paying off your student loans.
I know. That's why I'm totally against student loans. You know. I mean, I went to college. I didn't have any debt at all. So you don't go to the best college in the world if you want to. It's going to cost you money. And you have
even
to understand
colleges
that.
That don't cost that much. I mean, I know friends who didn't go anywhere close to Ivy League or even a decent thing, and they're still paying a lot of money.
But why? You know, I mean, you can go to school in your own town. You don't have to pay
like
extra for
college?
No, not. I went to Cal State Northridge here. I didn't have to pay for student living, you know, because I had my own apartment already.
But what year was that?
Well, that was some time ago, but it doesn't matter because
it's more expensive still, now, though.
Well, but we make more money too, you know, than we did back then. But I mean, all I paid for was tuition, which is not a lot if you go to state college, state university, and the books, and that was it, you know. So because I knew I didn't want to get into debt, and
the books alone are expensive,
right? You know, and. I said I didn't have the luxury to go into UCLA or something, you know?
Yeah.
I just didn't. So I didn't do it, you know? And I think it's the same with everything. You don't get into debt when you don't have the money to pay for it, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are stuck with it. I mean, look, I understand. I understand having student loans, but what people have to understand, it was their decision. It's not something that's inevitable.
It's. You know? I mean, I have friends that went to state school in Jersey and I mean, they didn't go to the best school ever, and they're still paying like $1,000 a month in student loans.
What was the total? What was the total in the loan, for example?
Maybe like 40K.
You see, I mean, why do you need 40K if you're going to
a
local school? But it doesn't cost that much to go to school.
It does, though. You gotta refresh your.
Well, I'm gonna check it out then. Yeah. I'll check into it and I'll let you know.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's expensive. Like, I have a lot of friends that did go to great schools, but I have a lot of friends that went to the most inexpensive option possible.
Right, but you know, sometimes people go to school and they're like, I don't have to work because I'm going to school. I had a full-time job, you know, and I went to school. Yeah. So you adjust it. It's just like anything else in life, you know.
I mean, my sister had two full-time jobs while she was going to college, and she still has stuff she's paying off with. I mean, she got partial loans, and she's still paying some of them off, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's unfortunate, you know. I don't know what to tell you, but it's just like anything else. I'd love to have a Porsche, but I don't have the money, so I don't buy it.
I mean, you have a really nice car.
Well, thank you. I'm just giving you an example.
Mercedes in the driveway.
An example about things that I can't have, so I just don't buy them. You know? That's it. You
oh
know,
my gosh.
Even the Mercedes I can't really afford, but I had to get it, and that's debt. You know, I mean, that's money that you owe.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, there's a lot to be said for not spending money that you don't have.
Yeah.
You know, and we all do, but, you know, I mean, a little bit of credit card debt is not the end of the world.
No, for sure
and
not.
And all that stuff.
It would be so
know.
Easy to pay my debt off.
Yeah.
You know, if I had it.
Yeah. True.
Which I probably could, but I also like to keep a cushion.
Yeah.
Where the number doesn't change.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. Tell me about it, man. I was thinking about that today. I said, you know, for all the talk about don't keep your money in the bank, you know, invest it in all this shit. It's like, yeah, but what about when you lose money, you know? Then you don't have what you had in the bank anymore.
Exactly. I just need more money.
Yeah.
Just a lot more.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Like I need like 20K a week.
Yeah.
To feel comfortable.
I can imagine. I can understand that totally.
I'm not even a big spender, you know? I'm not a big spender.
So where would you put the 20 grand?
I just like to save it. Just like to see it stack up.
Right. That would be nice.
If I want to like buy a piece of furniture, like there's this really nice chair that I found on First Dibs that I want, and the guy said he could upholster it in whatever fabric I want. And it's only like $9,000 with the discount.
Really?
Yeah. Like I would love to just be able to buy myself a $9,000 chair.
Why?
Just randomly if I felt like it. Like, it's fine, you know? It's not like I buy extravagant things all the time.
Right, but a chair? I mean, you know how many things you can get for $9,000?
It's like a Chase lounge. It's the most beautiful chair.
It's perfect. Well, I guess it's a question of priorities and taste, you know?
You know?
Can't argue with that.
It's a really nice chair. It's an investment piece. I'll have that forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, start saving up for that.
It's beautiful.
I'm sure if you had the $9,000, you wouldn't spend it on that.
I mean, I have the $9,000 and I'm not spending it on that.
Not to spend it, though, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see if I can find a picture of it. Yeah, look at this thing. Look at that.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, it looks nice, but it's not $9,000.
I mean, my friend said, he was like, I can make that for you out of pool noodles.
True, right?
And I was like, can you, though? I was like, I'll pay you. I'll pay you money to build me this chair.
Really?
He builds
then you
stuff
upholster
as
it.
His job. Well, I'm like, you have to find someone to upholster it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. Not
yeah,
by
I was like, if you made it out of pool noodles and it looked exactly like this, that's fine by me. You know?
Then do it. It cost you $50.
I don't know about $50, but
okay, well, whatever.
Time and labor, I'd pay him like $1,000.
Exactly.
I could get a chair for $1,000. I think that's fine.
That's still a lot of money for a chair, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, but
if you like it, why not?
It's a great chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a small version of it, too. I think that's like $5,000.
Oh, really? Is that all?
Yeah.
Can you buy two? Oh, wow.
Man.
So, have you heard of Toni Catan, who just died? Do you know who she is?
Toni. I know that name.
Toni Catan. Yeah, she was in music videos, and she died, and she was only 58, I think, or something.
Oh, I've seen her before.
Yeah, so, but she hasn't really been in the public for many years, you know. The way I knew about her was she would be on the Howard Stern show back then. Mm. She was in the movie Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks.
Great hair.
Yeah. And she was in music videos, you know, during the MTV days. She died at the age of 59 on Friday.
Man, what from?
And that's what they're saying. They don't know. There's no evidence of suicide or anything. But her brother is saying she probably died from a broken heart after losing her father to cancer a few days before.
You know how that happens? Mm. I actually learned that's a really real thing. So we have these little strings in our heart. I don't know where exactly they are, but there are these little strings that kind of connect the parts of our heart together.
Uh-huh.
And that's when they say you're playing with my heartstrings. That's actually what those are. And right. When you're under an immense, immense stress, like grief or extreme loss or whatever, those strings can break. They break all the time when we like freak out or have a meltdown.
Right.
But when you're stressed or brokenhearted enough, too many of them can break, and then you can actually die from that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Isn't that
That's
wild?
Possible, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. They're saying that Debbie Reynolds was also brokenhearted by Carrie Fisher dying and stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's no other evidence for anything that of why they died, you know.
Totally.
So that's sad, you know. That's very sad.
Yeah.
I guess the brother said she had a very close relationship with her dad. So that would be hard.
Yeah, that is hard.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But, you know, I mean, but when someone is like, they got a terminal illness, you have time to prepare for it, you
it's
know?
True.
So,
yeah.
So, like, when my parents went, it was like, you kind of wait for it already, you know, because you know it's going to happen.
Right. And towards the end, once they start getting bad enough, in this weird way, you almost like hope for it to happen sooner.
Right.
You just see how much they're suffering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
you're like, just go already. You know, not like for your sake, you just see them struggling.
Right.
You know.
But I guess it doesn't make it easier for a lot of people. So.
Yeah.
So that's sad.
That is sad. I'm sorry to hear that for her family.
Yeah.
In grosser news, I learned something really devastating. It's that, have you ever had a headache from being dehydrated?
I don't think so.
Come on.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I always drink.
There's a thing called dehydration headaches. And sometimes if you like don't drink enough water, you start to get like a little bit of like a headache. And I learned, and I fact checked this, that it means your brain shrinks a little bit from the loss of water and starts to pull away from your skull. And so that feeling of the headache is your brain pulling away from the skull.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that disgusting?
It is.
I'm like, they've been keep your skin clear. Everyone's like, yeah, yeah, cool. But if you told me that it would pull, that my brain will pull away from my skull.
Right. You drink all the time.
So much. I mean, I drink a lot of water anyway. You've seen the water bottle I bring usually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But like, come on, that's disgusting.
I know. So their line should be, keep your brain from unsticking to your head.
Yeah, seriously. It might fall off, and then what?
Yeah, right.
Drink water.
And finally, people are saying they're finding dryer sheets in their mailboxes, and they don't know why. Now, they're finding out that it's a trick that mail carriers use, because apparently sometimes they reach into a box and they find wasps and shit in there that sting them. So they put this in there, I guess, and it keeps them away.
Ew.
Or something, you know?
Ew. Ew.
I know, right?
Ew.
But so they say they build nests there and everything, those insects. So.
Ew.
Yeah.
I hate that. I completely hate that.
Yeah, right?
Can you imagine reaching in and
blah, blah, blah. But now we understand. Because for a few days they've been reporting this in the news. I'm like, what's going on, you know?
Yeah, seriously. I'm like, what are they laced with?
Yeah.
You know, it's a chemical warfare. What is it? That's what I would think.
Exactly. All right. Well, Jen, that's it. Thank you to Tony for calling in. Everybody,
thanks,
check him out at the... what was it, Whisper?
The Joint Whisper.
The Joint Whisper.
Yeah.
.com. And if you want to work out, if I decide to do it, I'll definitely contact him because he comes highly recommended.
Session, yeah.
Very cool. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
See you Friday.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.